They realize that when I get Andre the Giant cinched up in the launch position, when I slam him through the Trump Plaza, brother, from New York down to Tampa, Florida, the fault line is going to break off. And as Andre the Giant falls into the ocean, so will Donald Trump and all the Hulkamaniacs. But as Donald Trump hangs onto the top of the Trump Plaza with his family under his other arm, as they sink to the bottom of the sea, thank God Donald Trump's a Hulkamaniac. He'll know enough to let go of his materialistic possessions, hang on to the wife and kids, dog paddle with his life all the way to safety.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
But Donald, if something happens, you run out of gas, and all those little Hulkamaniacs run out of gas, just hang on to the largest back in the world, and I'll dog paddle us, backstroke all of us to safety.
Oh, and thank you, Hulk Hogan. Let's get back to action. Wow.
Unreal, Donald Trump, one of the Hulkamaniacs.
There he is right there, a Hulkamaniac. You really think so?
Absolutely.
It's a funny, you know what? I never saw a big Pokemon thing around where I live in the middle of L.A., but as I got to different cities and when we were in Canada, there's a segue. When we were in Canada this August, I saw it like three or four different places, whereas in Los Angeles, I didn't really see it. It's that was a weird thing to me. I would see one or two people like walking along the street, looking at their phone and holding it up in the air and all that, where I knew they were probably playing Pokemon Go instead of just reading their email or checking Facebook or whatever. But we go to Halifax when we were out there with Aaron Golias and Paul Kimball, and we were just walking along the docks there, and there were like 200 people sitting on the waterfront looking at their phones.
Yeah, it was weird.
Which really,
it was really weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it freaked me out or what. I was just like, "What the? Oh my God, they're playing Pokemon Go!" And then Tim went and interacted with a couple of people, and he almost got beat up.
Yeah, by a fat girl. So yeah,
there was like international incident where this. Yeah, you said, all right, so you get the Pokemon and then you go, right? And apparently she went ballistic on you. I heard her voice from like 50 feet away.
Well, she didn't get ballistic. She just got belligerent. Like she defensive.
I could hear you two going at it, you know.
Picking
and
on
you
her.
You said, why is she so
like,
pissed off? And she's, you know, why is she so pissed off? And I said, you probably asked her the same question her mom asked her before she left the house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what the hell were we... Oh, the Pokemon... Yeah. So I think the Pokemon Go is a preview of, like... Because, like, can't you imagine someday you go into a store, like, and they don't have the... Like, let's say you go to the airline, right? They don't have the ticket lady anymore. You just hold your fucking phone up, and the ticket lady's there. She's like a Pokemon, but she's a robot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, you're looking in your phone, there's no one at the counter, but you hold your phone up, and there's a lady there, and she's like, she does all the shit that the lady at the counter normally would do, you know?
Right.
I think we're going to see more of that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like the self-driving cars, and the truckers are all not going to have jobs and all that, and few people ask me, well, what do you do when those people don't have jobs? And I said, Time to reassess the universal minimum income idea.
Yeah.
Meaning the economic engine is retooled so that, and I'm sounding like a total idiot, is retooled so that people are basically taken care. I mean, it's almost like it's not even welfare. It's just kind of like, you're going to get this much money and you can have a crappy life. But if you want to do something else or be creative or, you know, retool your efforts to something else or get an online job or something, you can do that too. In addition to the, you know, everybody gets the minimum. But if you want to do anything past that, after a certain age, like after you're 18 or something, but after that, and it, you know, provides you a really crappy existence. But if you want to do anything after that, you have to actually do something else. But it provides people a safety net so they don't, you know, you don't have a bunch of people.
That sounds like such a political
nightmare.
Basically,
don't have a bunch of people. Yeah. Huh?
That just sounds like such a political nightmare because it's like
A bigger political nightmare would be millions of people out of work getting really pissed off and marching on Washington with anger and maybe more, you know?
No, I know, but, you know, I think it's actually more going to be like all the people that ended up out of work in these factories and shit, you know, all through America. It's just going to slowly happen. So they won't have time to react, really, to march. You know, they may vote somebody into office like Trump or something, but I think that, like, I just don't think people are going to take proactive action, even the truckers that lose their jobs. But who knows? Maybe.
You get enough people that don't have any money and nothing to do and no way to make any money and families and all that, they're going to be pissed off. And you got to head way before it happens, or the government will be taken over. I mean, people that kind of thing has caused revolutions in the past. So.
No, I agree. I agree that it's a problem. It's a looming problem. Let's put it that way. So then they should come up with some idea for it. But it's like, what do you know? Could the truckers could they be like drone operators? Could they all just hang out like in a warehouse driving the trucks like a computer game?
I have no idea. There's too many people, not enough jobs, and some of the jobs are going away. So you're going to have to take care of people, or you're going to have a huge, even huger problem on your hands than you already do. Anyway, you want to move on to what happened at Paramania? Tell people what's going to happen this year, because we want to know if people want to come. Also,
We also want to talk about the Chilean UFO.
Yes, we'll talk about it. You want to talk about that now? Let's talk about.
Yeah,
it
we might as well, because I feel like Paramania is.
That's the first thing in 2017. First big UFO story.
Oh yeah. I figured. What's that?
Private?
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I guess the.
Yeah.
All right. What happened was, I think, like Wednesday, Leslie Keene published an article on the Huffington Post that was like, Chilean government releases crazy UFO video, intriguing UFO or something like that. So the story is that the Chilean government released the UFO video, was shot by a helicopter, and allegedly, the Chilean government has a UFO group. Like a MUFON, not MUFON, like a blue book, and but it's more like MUFON, and so they apparently studied this thing for like 2 years, according to the article, and eliminated every like prosaic explanation and came to the conclusion that it's UFO, a UFO, and so that went out Wednesday. I was very excited when I saw it because. You know, I see UFO videos constantly, but they're like from regular people just who see UFOs. So to see a UFO video released by a government, I thought was pretty intriguing. And the fact that they were like, yeah, we can't figure this out I was like, oh, holy shit that they're admitting that. Then I come to find out, like, over the course of the next couple of days, mostly thanks to Lance Moody, that this Chilean group does this quite often, and they're kind of like true believers. Or they have done it before, yeah. They've done it at least once before. And it turned out that was like bugs. So an independent investigation into the footage, because they released like 10 minutes of infrared footage of this UFO, pretty much solved the whole thing like in like a day. So... it turned out it was probably a plane. And they, like, looked and found a plane that was essentially, like, right in the same spot that the UFO would have been. So it's like, so either there was a plane and a UFO there, or it was the plane. Like, let's not overcomplicate things, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that was kind of it. It was very Roswell slides-esque in that.
Yes.
It seemed quite trumpeted. I mean, I'll confess, I really got behind it when I first saw the story. But as I said at the time, to me, it's like that a government would release this is pretty remarkable. You know, now right. I'm pissed that, you know, I was kind of taken in by this Chilean UFO group.
Right.
It's like, who are these guys? What are they doing? So,
well, I think
I mean,
that's the official government study.
Yeah.
On, at least the Chilean Navy said we had a few guys flying a helicopter. I think it was earlier this year, or was it last year?
It was November 2014.
Okay.
Because it
took
them 2 years
to do this. They saw something on the horizon far away flying, and they shot some video of it, both high-definition video and, more importantly, infrared, which shows, you know, heat. So, yeah, when you first posted that, I looked at it, and I was like, what is that? What's that? In the middle of it, it's in a couple places, something shoots out the back of it that looks like smoke or steam or contrail or something. But it's only for a little bit. It's like, you know, it lasts for 10 or 15 seconds, and then it leaves that little trail. And I looked at it, and I said, well, one, that, you know, it looks like part of a contrail, but planes don't usually leave a little bit of a contrail. It just doesn't happen that way because the atmospheric conditions don't exist in that short amount of time, as far as I know, to make a well-defined little trail like that. And then, like you said, Lance put up this report that was put together very quickly. I mean, there was one report by a French group which said that it was a plane landing at the airport, probably 50-something miles away. Parts of the report, when I looked at it, looked like, yeah, that seems very reasonable. But they said that trail, you'd have to go look at it. I mean, if you go to the Writing Mysterioso Facebook page, there's a link to, one, the original article, and then also to the French report and the recent skeptical report about it. The first thing that the French people said was that they thought that it was a plane dumping sewage or wastewater. And my first reaction was, one, you can't really do that. It's very – most planes won't allow you to do that, passenger planes anyway. They won't allow you to do it because they don't want that stuff being dumped. Fuel, yes, you can dump fuel. You can do that from the cockpit. But it didn't look like, you know, and the article, the original Huffington Post article also said if it was wastewater, it would fall straight down, which is ridiculous. You're going at, you know, 200, 300 something miles an hour. You dump water out, it's not going to fall down. It's going to turn into a big stream of water droplets. It just, you know,
right,
all
right.
The wind and the turbulence and all that. So, but the thing is, in the video, what you see is it gets very dark, which for infrared, or the way they were looking at the infrared, dark areas mean hot. And you can see these two dots that were very hot, too. And I thought, well, that kind of looks like jet engines. I mean, they're right next to each other, and they're throwing heat out. But when this cloud came out, there was also heat in it, too, and it built up. Which was kind of weird. It's like if something gets dumped out of a plane or something, it's going from high pressure to low pressure, and when something does that, it's like shooting a can of Freon. It cools down, so you wouldn't see that heat. So I was wondering, okay, everything matches up except for this heat thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. It looks like a plane. It acts like a plane, but that doesn't make sense. However, this latest debunking of it or whatever it says. They said, well, look at the clouds. There are clouds in that video that are also black or dark, which means either the clouds are hot, which doesn't make any sense, or they're reflecting heat.
Right.
That made sense to me. So that's when I finally said, okay, that the one part of it that really bothered me has been, you know, reasonably explained to me. And if something is reasonable in the context of something like this video, to me, I'm not going to say it's 100% solved, but to my satisfaction, it looks like a plane. It has, you know, it has the signature of a plane in the heat. That plume could have been, you know, they might have changed the fuel air mixture and had some weird, a mixture of unburnt fuel or something coming out that did that. I don't know, but I think it came from the plane. And the other thing was somebody in the article was pointed out that was not picked up on radar, at least from the people they were talking to on the ground from the military aircraft. And two, nobody would answer them. Like, you know, please identify yourself. And there's a bunch of problems with, you know, it's like, well, one, there's more than one radar station. Who knows, excuse me, what radar station they were talking to. Two, radar stations only go out a certain amount, depending. I mean, some of them go out, you know, 30, 60, 80 miles, maybe not even that much, depending. And some of them don't go up as high as, you know, others. The beam goes out and it spreads. If something's 10,000 feet above you and your radar is, like, right below it, it's not going to pick it up.
Yeah.
And the third thing is about the, and, you know, so we don't know which radar they're talking about that didn't pick it up. And three, we don't know who they were talking, you know, you can say, please answer. But the thing is, one, you might not be on the same frequency, which is really likely. Two, you may not think somebody's talking about you. Like, please identify yourself. Like, we just left the airport.
Oh, yeah, because they don't, yeah, because if you don't know the craft number or whatever, you're just spitting in the air. You're just shouting it out the window. You know what I
yeah.
mean? You're
not
like, like flight 2253, identify yourself. You're like, hey, plane here, tell us who you are. You
well,
know?
What they would say is, you know, I've heard this when I'm flying, that, you know, I've actually flown, oh, like 500 feet over a plane that was going sort of in the opposite direction. And we were monitoring the frequency we were supposed to be on. Or we just switched to it because we were talking to, like, some air traffic control, and then we switched to the frequency usually used in the area we were in, and we suddenly heard somebody saying, so-and-so, identify yourself, and it was us.
Oh, boy.
We weren't even on the right frequency for them to ask. And so finally we went on, and we're like, oh, yeah, well, that's us. But the way they did it was, like, you know, traffic that is over so-and-so at this heading, please identify yourself.
You were the Chilean UFO.
Yeah. So, when, you know, I a couple people are like, oh, you know. It's like, well, because I have some slight experience with some of this, so I can understand what they're talking
about. Yeah, see, I wouldn't know that about different frequencies and shit. I just figured everybody was on the same thing.
No, no, you switch frequencies between different controllers, between different airports, between, you know, you leave the airport and you switch to the you know, I leave Chino Airport, and if I get a certain distance, I have to switch to SoCal Approach, which is basically a place in San Diego that talks to everybody in Southern California that have, like, incredibly powerful sets of radar.
Yeah.
So, you know, the simplification that goes on in a you know, news article, just for the sake of brevity and also for people that don't understand what they're talking about, I think it confuses the issue, and it's not as, like I said, somebody, it's not as cut as dried as people think. Steve says, is there supposed to be a transponder in each plane? Yes, there is a transponder in each plane. But that just tells you who the plane is. It doesn't. Your transponder is set to a certain number. I guess they could match up that number and ask them. But I don't know if they were doing that. I wouldn't hear the radio chatter. And then I can figure out exactly what was going on. And then, you know. But the thing is, there was.
Well, it's probably in Spanish.
Normal, yeah. No, it's not, because you have to speak in English when you're flying aircraft.
Even
Although
if you're flying.
Even the Chilean Navy, probably, they speak Spanish to each other, but civilian aircraft must speak English. It's the international language of aviation, for better or worse.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. See that? See what we're learning tonight, folks?
In fact,
I think, just to jump in, I think the whole the story was an interesting sort of observation on, like, I guess how you and me and people that we're friends with, or, you know, it goes to that idea of the excluded middle. It was like, I was kind of like, hey, here's an interesting UFO story. It's one of the best ones I've seen in a while because the government said some shit about it. And then it was like, okay, let's discuss it and try and see what we can figure out. And then we were like, all right, it's probably not a UFO. And then you get people on the other. And then there's people on both sides that, like, they're the ones that are now insanely fighting about shit, or like, angrily, you know, hectoring Leslie Keene on Facebook or whatever. It's like, to me, it's like, no, skin off my ass. It was a two-day story. It looked interesting, and now I know what it is, so let's move on.
Yeah, well,
but,
it's fine
but to the other people.
Check on people, I don't think you should get emotional about it. I mean, it's just a UFO case for Christ's sake.
Exactly. But it just shines a light on how there's different sides to this that take this shit wicked fucking seriously. Where it's like, the very fact that I posted it on your thing and put hey, this is one of the best cases I've seen in a while. It was like, you're an asshole for thinking that. It's like, what, dude, shut up. I don't, you know, I'm saying it's a really good case. It looks interesting. And if it's bullshit, it's bullshit. I thought that was fucking implied. Like, I'm not a true believer, man.
Yeah, well, it's because of my background and some things that I know, I decided to take a crack at trying to figure out what it was. And mine was maybe it's a stealth aircraft, and they didn't answer anybody because they weren't supposed to, and they didn't show up on radar because stealth aircraft do not show up on radar, and that was my guess. But I still thought it was a regular airplane. I mean, well, I thought it was an aircraft that humans had made. And it turns out that...
Yeah, I didn't really think it was like an alien, because...
No,
why the fuck,
you know,
it seemed too mechanical for to be a UFO. Not to, you know,
well,
that's a very presumptuous thing to say.
Don't you understand, dude? They do that stuff to make us think that they're regular aircraft, man. Don't you understand?
I don't understand anything. Now, somebody on the Radio Mysterioso page, they were like, is that it for 2016? And I said, Is there anything else to talk about? And I joked, Pizzagate. Did you follow Pizzagate at all?
I followed it a little bit, and I don't know if I even want to talk about it because I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's too politically hot for me. It's just too, you know what it is, folks? Like, it may be 100% true. It's just like, I don't want to get into weird, like, child sex craziness. Sorry, but it's like that's just so fucking weird and gross and too taboo
for me to
be dealing with.
Yeah, if you want
I think that goes for like
topic, yeah.
Right.
If you want an emotional topic that'll make people forget their let's look at this a little bit more carefully, just put child sex ring in there, and people instead of first going, what are we talking about? Come on, let's look at this. A lot of people go, yeah, okay, right, suddenly it just hooks into their emotional whatever.
Yeah, it's just way too fucking crazy, and I don't think there's really, you know, it's just not worth discussing. It's indicative of this whole fake news thing, and it's not even something else.
Oh,
that's the only other thing from 2016. It's like fake news. I haven't heard much about fake news at all lately, so I think it's going to die out.
Yeah, the first thing, the only thing I have left from 2016 I wrote down was, your friend and mine, your favorite story, Mogay the Stranded Alien.
Oh, Mogay the Stranded Alien, yeah. Love that guy.
Can you background us on that story? That's a great story.
This is like somehow someone, Mogay contacted MUFON and he's trying, someone contacted MUFON saying they were an alien stuck on Earth. And they tried to get MUFON to, like, connect them to Hillary Clinton, I think. And then,
yeah,
or
so.
Just to get them help. And no one would help. MUFON couldn't get the help for the alien. And then the alien, like, went over MUFON's head to the UN, like, 2 weeks later. It was very bad boy. The whole thing was very bad boy. It was like, what the fuck is, what is this thing? This is so weird. But no one ever heard from Mogay again, so I don't know what happened. I'm trying to think. I think that was it for 2016, right? Was there anything else?
Well, there's tons of other things, like, more Bigfoot footage. What else was there? The woman that got a British accent after dental surgery, general Selena.
Oh, yeah, there was lots of weird stories. There was lots of weird stories. But as far as, like, earth-shattering or provocative shit that people talked about, like, in our community, I don't think there was really anything.
No, not much.
I'm hoping for a good year this year.
Yeah, me too. In
but
fact,
we'll
a couple people, including our friend John here on the Radio Mysterioso chat room, says, let's hear about predictions for 2017. He continues, I think Skinwalker Ranch will recapture lots of headlines due to the new owners and reports of increased activity. Do you know what I looked at when somebody mentioned Skinwalker? I think it was George Knapp. Mentioned Skinwalker Ranch and the new owners. I looked up the name of the owners, and it's a media company.
I thought Bigelow was still involved with that.
Well, either that or it's under a shell company that Bigelow has called, whatever the media company is. I wrote it down. I've got it somewhere. In fact,
I heard about that.
If I can find it, I'll put it in the write-up.
Well, Skinwalker Ranch will only become big if they open it, if they do something with it. You know what I mean? Otherwise, it's just a private property. You know what I mean? It's like if a media company owns it and they turn it into fucking like a ghost hunt hangout for the weekend tourist destination, then yeah, for sure. But I'm skeptical that that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, from what I saw, apparently they're using it as some way to get video of weird stuff to exploit somehow to make a TV or movie or something like that. That's what I got from looking at just, you know, so-and-so media holding group. That was the name of the, when I looked
it's
it up.
Tom DeLonge.
I don't know the name of it. Yeah, right.
Secret Machines owns Skinwalker Ranch. I mean, yeah, like I said, unless something happens, they like conspicuously and intentionally fly under the fucking radar over there. So I don't expect they're not gonna welcome any publicity. But that's the only thing that would change.
Yeah.
Predictions wise, to do the hot or not for the new year, I think I'll predict that UFOs are still gonna simmer. They'll stay hot. It's a big year for UFO anniversaries. You got Phoenix Lights, Kenneth Arnold, Roswell, and Shag Harbor all in one year. So I think you're going to see a lot of media coverage. Hopefully someone will ask Trump about fucking UFOs. You know, it's like that's the best you can hope for. But I think UFOs will still be popular. And I mean, I just see a lot of the same. You know, space will be popular. I think they're going to keep sort of like dancing around aliens in a scientific way. Like, I think that was kind of what I was alluding to about space in the thing. It was like, as I joke with Stick, they're kind of like getting closer and closer to being like, there's aliens out there. We can't contact them yet, but they're there. We found, you know what I mean? Like some astronomer predicted that they'll find a mainstream astronomer. Because I guess they're doing, like, probes on Europa or some shit this year. And he said they'll probably find life there. So it's like, I guess I wouldn't go that far, but I think hot topics will be maybe they'll find a fucking worm on Europa. And as crazy as fucking shitty as that would be, that'll be the, you know, that'll be like a game changer. Then it'll be like, things will change. So I'm hoping that would happen. But, you know, if they find, you know, it's going to end up being like, don't get excited, folks. It's going to be a fucking amoeba. And that's it. But it's like, well, if an amoeba can grow on Europa, then whatever, you know. So I think that'll be the...
Go ahead.
I think that's it. I mean, Bigfoot's just pop culture now. So I don't think Bigfoot's going to be solved. Ghosts, we talked about, it's like they'll just keep getting more evidence for ghosts. No one's gonna be like, oh, I fucking believe in ghosts now, you know. So I think the other thing would be maybe to look for would be, I don't think the Queen is gonna make it in 2017. So I'd say we finally may see, at least your lifetime too, I guess, right? It's like I joked with you before in the year. It's funny, to wrap up 2016. It's like Trump won. The fucking Cubs won the World Series. Like, anyone who's into this shit should have hope that, like, the impossible is possible. Like, the things that previously we would have said, you know, never could happen. Like Fidel Castro was dead, folks. Like, the Queen looks like she's probably not going to make it maybe another year or two. It's like the world is fundamentally changing. The things that you've never seen before are happening. Maybe what we've always wanted to have happen will happen. Maybe someone will hit a Bigfoot with a truck, you know? Like, I'm not holding out hope on UFOs. That's too complicated. But Bigfoot, sure. Like, anything's possible. So that's my prediction, but I think Bigfoot's just going to be a pop culture icon and nothing more this year. UFO is still kind of hot, space getting hotter, that's about it. And conspiracies are going to be huge all year. So definitely conspiracies. So,
because
they're dueling.
What form that's going to take?
Oh, it's going to mutate. It's going to mutate into all kinds of shit. You know, it's like when you have the intelligence agencies of the world, like dueling and shit and hacking and spying and. You know, it's we're really into deep conspiracy shit that's coming out in the open. So, that's my predictions. I'm losing my voice a bit, so I'll turn it over to you to talk some while I drink a cold beer.
I don't know what's going to be hot. I would generally tend to agree with Tim there. What I was going to say when before I tried to interrupt Tim so rudely was he was saying about finding life elsewhere. There's a if people want to pick it up, and it's, I don't know the author or anything, and I probably won't have him on the show. There's a book called Weird Life, and it's basically talking what the guy does in a book length argument, not an argument, but an article, I guess. He talks about what forms life takes on this earth, what kind of weird environments it lives in. You know, they can live in arsenic pools and next to geothermal vents in the ocean floor, and they get their energy and everything from that. He said, if we can have that kind of weird life on this planet, imagine what it, you know, what forms it could, there's no problem with it existing on other planets, because here they're called extremophiles. And another part of the galaxy or the universe or the solar system, whatever, they would be called the dominant form of life. And who knows what forms those would take. But it's not like it's hard for life to exist in an environment that we consider not hospitable to life. And that's been realized, I guess, a long time ago by scientists. But it took me reading that book to realize that you can look for life, and you have to look for its signature in ways that you probably wouldn't look for normally. Unless you took into account all the, like I said, the extremophiles that have been discovered over the last, 20, 30, 40, whatever years. The only other thing that I would have a prediction for is that all this stuff I've been whining about, my guests and probably you too in the last 2 or 3 years of the show about UFO study changing, I think that's happening. And it's not happening in the big groups. What is happening is let's look at different ways to prove that there's aliens coming here from other planets, which I think is I guess it's a step, but I still think it's a waste of time. The main thing to do is figure out what causes UFO reports. That's my new that should be on a T-shirt. Not where they're coming from, or how can we prove it to people, or how can we get the government to close. But what causes the damn reports? And it's like that. I think that's a real basic question, and it brings up a lot of things like how do we interact with it? What is our contribution to not just UFOs, but I guess anything paranormal, Bigfoot sightings, Loch Ness, anything like that. That's a basic question. I think more people are paying attention to that, and they're doing probably amazing. I would think, and I've heard glimmers from some people that people are doing amazing, weird, completely unapproved,
unorthodox
things. Huh?
Unorthodox?
Yes. Very unorthodox.
What do you mean unapproved?
Things. Unapproved meaning it's not like...
By who?
You're not using science. It's like, I think science goes a certain amount of distance toward looking at this problem, but it doesn't go far enough. And a few of those things
right.
are... We had a show recently about engaging with it, and not in a Stephen Greer way, but engaging with the phenomenon... personally, trying to affect the phenomenon personally by some active activity. Let's see. I think information, using the information from the UFO community, of UFO organizations, data. Pull all the data together into the biggest database you can possibly possibly put together, with all the information that you can possibly get into one place that is curated properly, so you know what categories that aspects of the thing falls into, so you can get a pretty accurate, as accurate as you can across the board database, like not just colors and times and distances and all that, but also kind of like what happened to people afterwards, what happened before, how did it affect them emotionally.
Yeah, but we talked about this before. You got to start all over now because that shit's not even in that, I bet.
I don't think you're going to have to find somebody who can glean all this stuff. The thing is, I don't think anybody's ever taken data from everywhere, like, you know, which will be a little difficult because different cultures have different ways of collecting the information. But try and get all this information into one place and then start massaging the data and running it through different scenarios. In fact, you could probably run your own UFO experiment just on the data. So I think that kind of stuff is going to start happening more this year. Like the beginnings of it are going to be there. I already see the beginnings of it going on. So that's my prediction for this year is people being so fed up with the way things were done before that they start actively doing new things to try and solve different mysteries, particularly the UFO one.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to beat a dead horse, but I think a lot of that might subconsciously come from the idea that, like, this disclosure thing's not happening. Like, it's not
there's nothing to disclose, goddammit. To me.
I don't disagree. I just mean the narrative is dead.
I hope so.
You know, the 10-year-long narrative of like Obama's going to be the disclosure. There's people on Facebook still who are like post shit where they're like, I'm hearing rumblings that there's going to be something, you know, in the next week before Trump takes office. It's like, there's no fucking way they're going to disclose UFOs the day Trump takes office. What are you, retarded? Like, they don't want that kind of chaos. Like, Jesus Christ, this is going to be a carefully managed thing. You're not going to do it then. But, you know, it's crazy. I had another prediction for 2017 based on something somebody posted on here, but now I can't find it. So...
We'll see if you can find it. On my chat room at writingmysterioso.com, John, again, says, looking ahead, I bet money Jim Mars will be Tim's next guest.
Yeah, that's a good bet.
And what special guests would Greg and Tim like to land this year? I started making a list for myself, but I don't know. Let me see if I can find the list. See what I can pull off of this list. Let's see.
We have like three chat rooms going at once.
Really? Yeah. I have never spoken to Paul Devereaux on my show. I'd love to do that. I'll have to speak to him. Adam Parfrey, who's been running Feral House for like the last 25, 30 years, put out some amazing books that I always enjoyed. And plus, I've known him for quite a long time. You know who I've never had on? I'm totally amazed I haven't. Dave Childress.
Oh, yeah. I've never had him on my show either.
Yeah, so that's somebody I'd like to get on and talk to him because I've known he published the Excluded Middle book when nobody else would. So he's like, you know, he basically gave me a really nice big kick in the butt to go out and start writing more and publishing more. So I still thank him for that, and I'd like to interview him. So we'll see what happens with that. But those are just a few of the people. Who else? Let's see. Oh,
Jack,
you know,
Brewer. Someone says Jack Brewer. We've both had Jack Brewer on our show. So yeah.
I haven't had Jack Brewer on my show.
Oh, you haven't had Jack Brewer on? He's right.
No. I want to interview the cognitive psychologist, Donald Hoffman, about visual systems and the way we see things and how. And I want to see if I can get him interested in talking about anomalous experience and how that might be, you know, how the visual system might deal with that. Our visual system, our nervous system, and our memories, and all that. I think he's a visual system person, but that's somebody I'd like to interview too. So I'm going to be working on that one too. How about you?
Well, as some people know, the next season, which should start soon, hopefully by the end of the month, and I actually bought a microphone, as I was telling Greg last night. So any illusions about me like leaving the radio sphere is insane, but. But season 10 will be the final season of the seasonal format for Banal of America. So it's more going to be just like a big fucking party. Just try and have a lot of my favorite guests and friends and stuff on to sort of close out the season. I don't have any, like, wish list type guests. I'd like to get George Knapp back on, though, because I haven't talked to him in a while. I know you want to...
You have him on your show?
George. Yeah, for the 100th episode. So
I was going to get him on like 3 years ago, and it just didn't happen because I think his wife got sick, and then when she got better, he didn't have a chance or he didn't want to, and it's like, but yeah, I'd
love it's
to
hard
talk
to get
to him. He's a hard
but
one.
Yeah,
to get,
I mean,
though.
It would be kind of cool, I guess, if I have like a it's a really ridiculous sort of like wish, but. Because it's like it's kind of a wasted wish in a sense. But if I was going to go full circle, we ended season one with an interview with Gary McKinnon, of all people, the UFO hacker. Yeah. So here we are, like 12 years later. I would love to get him back on the show to wrap up his story. You know, because he never got. I think like the government like stepped in and he didn't end up getting deported or whatever, extradited to America. So he pretty much got off on that, or got off for it or whatever. But so I don't know. That would be like a wish list guest for my personal OCD. Now that I've thought about it, and now I'm gonna have to fucking track him down. But that would be, you know. But otherwise, I think a lot of old friends and you know, folks. There's a few folks that I haven't talked to yet that I want to get on the show and get in the canon of the show. But otherwise, you know, your Kutches, your Go Wrightleys, your Red Pill Junkies, you know, try and get old friends and new friends on the show to wrap it up, pretty much. Hopefully get my voice back by the time we launch.
I've been doing too many old friends on the show and haven't been expanding, because when I have friends on the show, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do any background or work because we just talk about what we would normally talk about anyway.
Yeah, and I know why I want to do it that way for my last season. Yeah. But
well, I figure I've been cheating myself and other people by being lazy like that, and I would like to expand a little bit. Like, Carlos actually said he would love to. He just said DHC, exclamation point. I think he'd like to hear me talking to David Childress and see what he says. And I haven't, you know, I talked to Dave. I went and stayed at his place a couple months ago, and we had nice, big, long talks about lots of things, some of which I would love to have on the show. So I'll bug him. I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even – my show, so especially now, like fly by the seat of my pants. I don't even think about – I mean, now I'm like almost – more concerned about trying to get the microphone set up and figuring out how that all works so I can do a proper podcast. So,
yeah.
And like I said, anyone who's like, what, you're leaving, season 10's last season, it's like, I wouldn't have went out and bought a fucking microphone if I was just going to wrap it up in a year. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm thinking ahead to what I'm going to do after the way I do the show now, which is completely like wild, wild west. You know, it's like maybe I'm going to do something more structured. You know, but I don't want to even suggest anything because once I wrap up season 10, I might finally get around to writing a book or something. So we'll see what happens.
God, I hope so. You're way overdue for a book there, Tim, and I know you can do it. You're a good writer, so I think you should go for it.
Yeah, no, it's more just a matter of, like, what am I going to write about? And I think it'll just be, like, a big sprawling sort of, like, thoughts on different shit, you know? Because I've covered all this stuff, and I have opinions on a lot of things, so it's kind of like that's probably what it'll be, you know.
Right.
But I don't know if I can actually say enough about all these different things. But you know, and weave in stories about my show and shit. So I kind of have an idea, but I just never got around to like sitting down and doing it. So I should just put together an outline. First, that would probably be a good idea. Now we're getting up on the hour, but I figure we can dribble over a little bit. You don't have a hard cut off, right? Yeah.
No. I'm just going to get off.
Yeah, my live listeners will get cut off in like 5 minutes, but they can wait for the MP3 or just go over to RadioMysterioso.com and hear the conversation continue. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to RadioMysterioso.com and up at the top of the page, there's a thing that actually, there's a little link that says live player. You can listen to it live that way, if you like.
I think it'll be an interesting year in a sense. Like I said, I felt like everything was on pause this year. So now without the election dragging the oxygen out of the room, I'm hoping that, like, things will happen, in a sense.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but something will happen.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of ripe for it, and, you know, that's good. But a lot of this, I mean, even out of the political arena, it seems like things are the decks are being cleared. I mean, we just talked about the UFO thing and how I think it's going to change. Because people have been asking for change for what, like 6, 8, 10 years now? And it's finally filtering through to the mainstream. And, you know, mainstream different is a lot – it's generally not that different. But if it drags everybody else along to do their own explorations, I think that the more people, the better. Because you used to not be able to do that. People start their own magazines like Albert K. Bender or you know, people I knew in the 90s or whatever, or, you know, what's his name? I think Rick Hilberg used to publish a UFO magazine. There was a UFO news clipping service that Lou Farish used to have. These are all like these grassroots things that became very important later. And I think with the internet and the way that people can communicate accurately, quickly and secretly, actually, I think it's a good thing. I think research in secret until you have some kind of result or no result and you tell people what happened. I think that's a great thing. I don't have any problem with Bigelow not telling people what he was doing because it would dilute what they were trying to do. So.
Exactly. Well, I think it's going to be a good year, too, because, I mean, we've talked about this in the past, where it seems like weird shit, okay? No matter how you want to slice it, we don't know what, you know, paranormal stuff happens during times of, like, great tumultuousness, it seems. And so it seems like 2017 is going to be a very tumultuous, chaotic year, and one would expect that would engender itself to strange and unusual things happening. That's my theory, at least. You know, it's like we're the entire world is going through a liminal state soon. You know, or in the midst of a liminal state. We're in the midst of a very transitional period, and I think that conjures this shit to happen, weird shit. Whether, you know, where it comes from, that's what we're all trying to figure out. But it seems like the conditions are right for really weird shit to happen. So hopefully it does.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. That's our shit. That's...
yeah,
that's our life's work is to delve into the realm of weird shit, you know, for better or for worse.
Yeah, somebody just said on the chat room here on the site, they said that they'd pay for OT Radio Mysterioso. That's nice, but the day I start charging for Radio Mysterioso is the day that it loses half its soul. Not because of the money, but because I'm just like, I figure I'm doing this because I want to do it. If I got to do it to make money off it, which I would dearly love to do right now, I don't have a regular job. But I don't. If I figure if I do the radio show and I start charging people for any part of it, it somehow makes it not the kind of thing that I want it to be, or it will dilute it in some way. I don't know what it is. It'll have this subtext that bothers me.
Yeah. No, I have no intention of charging for Banal of America unless I lost my job. So, you know.
I did start charging for it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I wouldn't begrudge you if you did, so, you know. But to me,
yeah.
It's like, I tried. I mean, listen, dude, I tried fucking making like a, you know, like a part of where I'm at in my life is because I like didn't work for a few years and just dedicated myself to this shit. And it was like, I never made any money. I ended up wildly in debt. So to me, it's like, that's, you know, trying to make money off of this shit's like insane. Unless you get like a TV deal or something, you know. And even then, most of
those
people won't get paid shit.
Those are the only people who make money off are producers, you know.
Right, right.
And publishers.
So it's like charging for a podcast to me was always like, It became a commitment that I didn't want to ever have to take on, as evidenced by the fact that I've barely done any shows this year. It's like if I had subscribers, then I'd have to do shows all the time, and then it becomes an obligation instead of something you do because you want to do it.
Yeah. Steve wants us to say something about Paramania. I'm always
yeah, we're gonna.
Loath to say anything about Paramania because we had just the right amount of people last for the first one. It turned out perfectly.
Paramania was a miracle, really. It was a miracle. I don't know how else to say it. I always described it as magical, to the point now that it's like, I within like a week of getting home, I was like depressed where I was like, it's never going to be that magical again. But, yeah, I mean, just to reflect on it, it was funny. I sent that message to you. I was laughing about it because it was like, I had a pretty crazy year. I went to Dealey Plaza, Aurora, Shag Harbor, and you went to all three of those places too. We oddly enough, were like, did a weird paranormal, like, I don't know, tourist trip to two of them. So it was cool that I shared those experiences with you over the course of the year. I mean, that was really like the highlight of my year, like going to these amazing places with good friends and seeing like weird shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, these are like UFO people bucket lists, and one of them was Shag Harbor, like I said, and another one was when we were at Paramania in Dallas. We went out, Carlos drove, I think Josh Cutchin and Micah and I, and then a few other people went in other cars, but we caravanned out to Aurora to the site of the famous possible alien ship crash in 1897 or whatever it was. And then Jim Mars, of all people, who's studied this thing, drove or got a ride out from his house, which apparently is not too far from there, and stood there at the gravesite and gave us a little talk about it. And then we went to the place where supposedly whatever the flying thing was hit a windmill, and then they buried the pieces in a well. We went to the site of that well. And then
right.
Micah Hanks started giving us a talk on what happened at that well and what his view of piece of the history was. And it was amazing, and it was an amazing experience all around.
Experience,
must again, must again thank everybody involved, particularly Steve, for setting up.
Yeah, it was funny, like, talking about, like, charging for podcasts and shit. It was like, if you did the fucking pain-in-the-ass legwork, you probably could have charged people, like, $50, $70 a pop to fucking go out to that graveyard with Jim Mars that day. You know what I mean? It was like, but it all happened spontaneously and free. And it was like you put the good intentions out there and it works out even better than you could expect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that we're trying to do this in Los Angeles this year. It's going to, and I guess to my horror, I said I guess I'd try and host it, and I'll try and set some stuff up when people come out here. But that's August. I'm sorry, it was April 9, 10, I can't remember the date.
I got it, hold on, yeah, let me see. But as far, yeah, I mean, it was just an amazing year for that shit, because, you know, Dealey Plaza was pretty awesome, too. Did you know, you remember that guy, with the table at Dealey Plaza?
Everybody, yeah, there's a lot of people, I've been there once before, and it's always people, there's always, depending on the time of the year and all that, there's people, especially around the anniversary of the assassination, there's always people out there selling things, giving lectures, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it goes on, and the city just lets it happen.
Right, right. But
they all kind of get on the grassy knoll there.
Yeah, but I read an article this year. I think that you like this. Do you remember that guy, though, at the table?
Yes.
Right? That was like, yeah. He's actually, like, an institution of Dealey Plaza, and he's been taken to court, like, dozens of times by the Dallas police.
That's
and
right.
They can never get him for anything. And
right. The
sign in all of our pictures that says Grassy Knoll that has the arrow, that's his fucking sign. He puts that up when he comes out and puts his table up. That's not something the city does. Like, the city fucking hates that shit. But he comes in the morning and rolls out the sign.
The tourism, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, what I'm saying is, like, that. It's like it's sprung up from him pretty much that, like, people, you know, at least have some understanding of where the fuck, there's no, like, official Dallas, you know, tourism guy there. like showing people around and shit. He's the guy. What happened
I'm
to you?
Answering
your...
texts. I'm answering chat room stuff. I'm looking at the Running Mysterios Facebook page. I'm trying to make sure all the levels are right. Every once in a while, it's going to be quiet for a second while I'm like, oh, I guess.
All right, no worries. Let me get the Paramania info for people. All right, now, if you're interested in attending Paramania, just shoot me or Greg an email or a message on Facebook so we can let you know. But you got to be fucking serious about it, and we don't want a shitload of people. So if you're not sure about it or whatever, then don't come. And the whole idea is, as we said last year, this is a total leap of faith, folks. It's completely fly by the seat of your pants, put together by us, and we have no – we can't promise you anything. And the dates are April 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's in Los Angeles, California, and we'll be staying at the Beverly Laurel Motor Inn. So just BeverlyLaurelMotorHotel.com is the website. So, and that's the last you're ever going to hear Greg or I promote this event. So,
I'll probably. You know. Whoa, our listeners jumped up by about 10. I wonder what the hell happened. Anyway,
some other show must have gone off the air.
I will probably edit this piece out when I post it. Really.
That's fine. Yeah.
Because what it is, and we're not trying to be elitist or anything. I don't want people to see single reading. But the thing is, we were really scared like 100 people would show up last year. So,
right.
Oh, I know why we got much more listeners now, because people think that the show comes on at 8 o'clock. Oh. Okay, we got 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific on my thing. I should say either or. In fact, well, I did put up on, if you look at the news thing.
It says 6 to 8
year
Pacific on this one.
Yeah, well, on the news thing, but at the top of my page, it says usually 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific live on Sundays. And so a lot of people logged on just now. I'm sorry to say.
Well, if they go to Banal of America, they can click the thing and listen from the beginning if they want, the picture, because it's a simulcast. So anyone who just
came in now because
the show's ending, go to banalofamerica.com and click the button, and that'll start the show from the beginning.
I encourage you.
So, we're not going to, like, super promote it. We don't want a shitload of people. We just don't want a shitload of people.
What it is if you don't know what it is, it's just something that I don't know who thought of it. Oh, no, well, Steve. Steve said, if you guys come out here, can we have a meeting of just, like, people? And I thought, sure. So what it is, it's basically a UFO convention of people that just like our shows, but we don't charge for it. It's like, if you can get out here and put yourself up and get over here, we just hang out. So I don't exactly know what we're going to do yet, and we probably won't announce it yet, but there'll be activities, and we basically just hang out. And if anybody is a writer or an author or somebody that has some published thing that they want to talk about, they get up. You know, last time we had Josh Cutchin, Micah, Steve, our host, and I all got up in a little rented room we had, and we gave them talks. We had a screen to talk and everything. And I have already about 4 months ago set aside I got a community room at the library, so that will be available for us during the on Saturday the 8th.
Right. And like Greg was saying, because now I'm afraid that I sounded elitist. It's like it would be great if like a million people showed up, but I don't want to be responsible for anyone. So you're on your own. That's the point of the whole event. You're on your own. Like, you got to figure out your ride situation when you get to L.A. You got to, get to L.A. And the good thing is that everybody will work together. It's very communal. You know, you're not going to be sitting at the hotel without a fucking ride somewhere, but at the same time, you're going to be at the hotel that morning, not sure how you're going to get from point A to point B, and you're going to have to work with everybody else to figure it out. So if that's not your bag, like, don't do it. Like, believe me, I mean, I went in there. Luckily, I was kind of, you know, me, Greg, and almost entirely Steve kind of, like, put this together last year. So, luckily, like, I'm you know, I had no voice. I was just a fucking mess. But everybody took care of me, so. But like I said, if you're somebody who goes to an event and you want shit like A, bing, bang, boom, bop, bop, then this is not for you, man. This is like one big party, and we figure it out as we go along. And if you want to take a long breakfast, then whatever we had planned for the afternoon now gets moved to 3, you know?
Yeah.
So if that kind of shit gets
we...
under your skin, like, no, don't come.
Well, there are loose plans, and if we get out from we do plan to actually take a trip out the Integratron, because people come here, they should see that, especially if they like our shows. I mean, it's
yeah, I think that's like the dealy
plaza. Anybody that's interested in
Paramania too.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody that's interested in this stuff, that should be one of their pilgrimage sites, and it has been mine for a long time. In fact, I went out there one time and performed some sort of strange ritual, I think, of just honoring contactees. And at the end of it, I was emotionally drained. It was a very strange moment for me.
Well,
so,
I'm looking forward to that. That'll be cool. But we don't know what else we're going to do in L.A. because there's so much shit, but it's all spread out. So it's like, what's the, you know, is there like a must-see thing in L.A.?
Well, there's all kinds of must-see things.
I know, that's the thing. It's so...
The plan
crazy.
Will be to see things that are, one, tourists don't see, because I live here. I've lived here all my life, and I know the places. And two, is relevant to people that are interested in this kind of stuff. Like, maybe we'll go to Devil's Gate and see where Jack Parsons performed rituals when he was in the OTO.
Yeah, that'd
be
cool.
40s, just stuff like
that. Now, what
that.
About the – isn't there like a secret Nazi – fucking like, not a base,
there is,
but like
but
a secret. Not-
yeah, I know. It was bold. I mean, it's been knocked down. It's not there anymore. But what was ruined in a valley south of Malibu that was all overgrown. But it was built in the 30s by a couple, or at least continued in the 30s and built up to a working ranch or a working facility by a couple of people who had some money and were affiliated with the German Nazis, and they actually allowed some of them to train there, thinking that the United States was going to lose the war and that would be the place where, at least in Southern California, where the headquarters was. So eventually the FBI came in and shut that down sometime near the beginning of the Second World War. But no, that's not there anymore. But there's plenty of other things that we'll look at. I mean, we'll probably have time for...
Is there a Unarius? I think we
yes,
went to Unarius in San Diego, right? Or is that,
yes.
We went
the
to the one in San Diego. Is there one in L.A.?
Yeah,
it's in L.A.
Yeah. It's
oh, that would
like,
be a great thing to do.
Maybe like 3 miles from the center of Paramania stuff at the hotel there.
Oh, that would be awesome to do. Yeah. That's definitely worth considering.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be fun, that's for sure.
Okay. I guess I got to apologize to people. But, oh, you know what? A lot of these people said they jumped over from your chat room.
Yeah, that's what Steve said. That must be people that came over from my feed. So that's possible. It's the simulcast, man. It's all over the map. But yeah, I think it'll be a fun time, and
yeah.
We'll see what happens. So
yeah.
And like I said, Greg and I won't even. We're not gonna. There's no website. There's nothing. That's why I said if you think you're gonna come, contact one of us so you can figure out how to get in on this. But you know. Otherwise, there's no place for us to send you because there's no, you know, there's no website. It's all underground.
Yeah, it's just people that are interested, and we just come and have a fun time. And we did that in Dallas last year, thanks to Steve. And we're going to try to do it in L.A. this year and see what happens the year after.
If it works in L.A.,
around
then,
the country. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing one in Boston the year after, so we can maybe try that. And I might actually... Because I've been kind of like, this is kind of a segue here, but since I've been bit by the travel bug, I'm thinking about doing the Roswell 70th. So if anyone's thinking about doing that, let me know.
I'll be there, Tim.
We're going to Roswell for the anniversary this year.
I'm speaking there, so I will be there.
You're going to be in Roswell?
Yeah, I'm going to be. I got invited there to talk.
Oh, nice. Then I'm almost definitely going.
Yeah,
so
I'll be
we might have
I'll
our Shag Harbor 2
exactly.
in Roswell.
Uh-huh.
What are you speaking at? What park? What thing?
I am speaking at the alternative one that is, I think it's run by, like, some Christian group, but they're not telling me what to say, so I'm going to say whatever the hell I want.
Is that like Guy Ritchie or whatever his name is, Guy?
Guy
Malone, not Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guy Ritchie's an actor, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm thinking about Roswell, too, this year, because my brother has a friend who lives in Roswell, so I think I might have a place to stay, which would help out a lot. Maybe I'll bring my crazy brother with me. You can meet him.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But, yeah,
but do you want to play? Okay. Do you want to play Bernie Looney's thing to close this out?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I guess, should we play it and then say goodnight? Is that how it works?
Okay, we'll do that. If we'll play it, say goodnight, and then, actually, since you are, quote unquote, the guest, I'll ask if you want what kind of music you want to play after, and we'll close with that. But what this thing with Bernie was that he's one of the. Well, maybe you know him better than I do, Tim.
I don't know Bernie very well at all, and he's a mystery to me. But what I know is that. No, this is true. Somewhere along the way, Bernie emerged on Facebook, and he's so funny. He's an amazingly funny guy and very creative, and he made some Banal of America endorsement as a guy from Dorchester, Mass. It was so fucking funny, and we've become friends ever since. And I don't know much about him. I'm trying to learn more about him, but apparently he was like – he interviewed Frank Zappa in the 80s. That's all I know right now. So I'm assuming he was like some kind of like reporter or writer or something in the 80s. And he did this insanely hilarious but poignant like reflection on the election after it happened. And he just makes me laugh every time I see some shit that he posts. And so he posted a long like story about being abducted on your Facebook page. And having watched a number of Bernie videos, I was like, this thing needs the fucking Bernie treatment. He needs to, like, do this as, like, in spoken word. And then I think Zach Farr was, like, with Beatnik Bongos. And then within, like, a day, he did it. And it was amazing. And it really is funny. And so, Bernie, whoever you are really, he makes me laugh every time. I see his shit. I guess he's coming to Boston in a couple months, and he might end up staying with me for a few days, so that'll be cool. But, yeah, this is Bernie's really wild abduction story.
Beatnik abduction, which he recorded just, I think, yesterday. So let me play this here.
I was abducted by aliens over Thanksgiving. I was upstate New York. I was wondering why I was all banged up, and then the memories, they just came flooding back. I was outside at a friend's pad having a smoke when this blue beam hit me, and I found myself being taken up. But the beam kept dropping me back down to the ground. I finally succeeded to find myself inside some crap, staring at some vague-looking cats. I couldn't really make them out, but I did notice they were wearing spats. One of them told me he needed to give me important info to take back and transmit to others. But he said, first, you can stand to lose a few pounds there, man. That explained the beam constantly dropping me. Then he said, and I do mean said, in straight lingo, you know, the king's jive, no telepathic jive. Here's what you need to take back. We don't abduct people anymore, daddy-o. Haven't done it in ages. And even then, it was only a few of you taxi kids. I mean, we're in a bad place. Can you dig it? How Mickey Mouse do you think we are? Do you really think that we're that dim-witted that we need to snatch you guys for decades to figure out how you Clydes work? And do you think we use outdated invasive procedures? For fuck's sake, we're yonks ahead in that area. I have to say, the cat was on point. started to ask all kinds of questions, like where were they from? Why didn't they just announce themselves to the Earth at large? And he yelled at me and said, hey, I'm talking here. Then he said they all love the talkie radio Mysterioso in that Bishop kit. He's straight from the fridge, man. And we rattled his cage back in the day, but that cat knows his groceries. He's a good egg. He loved the wacky music he plays that we influenced. He keeps wanting to know, but no way in hell we'll give it up. Use his foot now and wrap to your cat and set the record straight. After that, they released a rope ladder for me to climb down, since they were afraid their fancy blue bean might drop me again. The end.
Damn, Bernie. That was amazing.
So incredibly creative. Just so nice. Good job,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Let me turn that down. There we go.
We have fantastic listeners, that's for sure. We have fantastic listeners that can do shit like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, that can do that. People talk a lot. Nobody ever does anything. Bernie did it. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, yeah, dude, you got to do this as spoken word poetry or some shit. Next thing you know, it's like, okay, here you go. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Well, man, I guess
I'll
close out my show. Thank you for doing the year in review. I feel like it was an epic year, but we didn't even give it epic year treatment. But at the same time, it's like it was just an epic year dominated by one giant fucking story that we don't want to talk about anymore, which was the election. So,
there was no elephant in the room. That was just the room.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'll go down in history as one of those years, like a 1941 or some shit, or 1969, that everyone will always remember where they were in 2016 when things went insane. And now we'll see what insane looks like here in 2017. So let's hope it's not so bad that we can't be doing this again next year. And I think we're going to be okay, folks. Don't worry. I think we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think so too. But then I always think the thing that makes me feel the best. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
I think it's
right,
the thing that makes me feel the best. Yeah.
Well, Hilaire? Like I said, thanks for doing this. Oh, yeah, I'm still here. Thanks for doing this again. I appreciate it. And I sent you a song for the closer.
Yes, I have the song here, and I won't announce it. I'll just play it, and I'll talk to you. Probably within the next day or two, anyway, Tim.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk this week. Absolutely.
And thanks again for Tim suggested we do the simulcast again, which was brilliant, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. It looks like a lot of people listening did. As far as I know, I'll be back next week. I don't know who with. And if I'm not, at least I will post something that hasn't been heard before because I still have a little bit of a backlog of stuff. And if you want to hear this show, if you missed the beginning of it, go over to Tim's site. Go over to binallofamerica.com, and I guess you can find it very quickly. Play the show from the beginning.
Yeah, just click the picture of all the Trump clowns. You'll be all set. And I'll be back with a new show probably by the end of the month to kick off season 10. So stay tuned, folks.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
No problem, buddy. Good night.